You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Marta Kristen from Lost in Space. You're listening to the Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 592.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Oh, Kevin, hey. You're back.
Look, I came back.
I appreciate this. I'm glad you returned.
The prophecies were true. Yes, I came creeping back up.
We were all warned.
Yeah.
And here you are.
My advance team was running up ahead of me, warning everyone, all the locals, the citizens, as we came tearing up north from the deep south back up here to Chicken Town. We are post Dragon Con. That means, yes, I have survived Dragon Con, and we're here for Dragon Con review this week and next week, and I think the week after that.
Strap in, everyone.
I think we're going to make this an unprecedented three-part Dragon Con review.
And each of the episodes is going to be 2 hours long.
We're going to make Dragon Con review as long as Dragon Con itself. But for now, this is just part one, and we are going to try to move relatively quickly. So let's start with Cornflake with National Whatever Day.
Well, even though you want to move quickly, Kevin, I hope you're willing to spend a little bit of time on Mr. Richard Marx. He's turning 60 on September 16th.
Hey, all right, hold everything. We can stretch this into a 7-part series if we need to.
I knew you had it in you.
Allow the Richard Marx segment room to breathe.
See, that's what I like to hear.
You know I love Richard Marx.
I know you do, which is why we couldn't pass up this milestone birthday.
One of my hair heroes.
Do you have his autobiography?
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, it came out just last year.
Wow, I'll read that.
I bet you know some of the stories that are in it because you've seen him in concert. And I'm sure he's talked about the stories he has from being a rock star.
I have been to a Richard Marx concert just a few years back at the Stadium Theater in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, a theater of my youth. That was an ultimate 80s throwback kind of a night, you know, Richard Marx in Woonsocket. And he's great.
Go see
Richard Marx, everybody. Richard Marx concert, I mean, he doesn't tour with a band normally. It's Richard Marx. He has a guitar, he has a piano, and gives you a full show, does all the hits, and is very funny in between songs. He's a storyteller and really prides himself on crafting funny stories to tell between songs. And sounds incredible, of course. Terrific show. We love Richard Marx and his hair.
And his book.
And the book. I'm sure I'll love the book when I read it. What's the book called?
Stories to Tell, a Memoir.
I will absolutely read that. What's your favorite Richard Marx song?
My favorite? So I'm split. Can I have two favorites?
Sure.
Because Right Here Waiting was one of the first things I ever taught myself to play on a keyboard, as I think any kid in the 90s playing a keyboard figured out.
Yep.
And Hazard.
Okay.
It was just so unusual. And the video for it was this mystery.
Right, right, right.
What about you?
Oh, let's see. I guess I'll go, what was that first one? Don't Mean Nothing. That was his first big hit. I'll just go with the first one. But I like them all, you know.
Did you know he's the only male artist whose first 7 singles reached the top 5 on the Billboard charts?
Yeah, he was on quite a roll there. And he married Daisy Fuentes.
Yeah. What a life.
Like recently, just a few years ago. What an MTV power couple, like decades later.
It's really cute.
It's amazing. Yeah. So absolutely. We love Richard Marx as a 80s pop super nerds. This is a fine, fine whatever day.
had to start strong because I knew this was going to be a Dragon Con episode. So there you go.
Happy Richard Marx Day to us all. All right, we better jump into Dragon Con. I think we're going to try to get through the first two and a half days.
Okay.
I'm going to take you from the airport heading down from Boston through Friday.
Got it.
I think that's the plan. So a little hunk of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
What happened in the airport? I got to know.
I went to Dunkin' Donuts and got a coffee. Mm. See, these are the kind of details I know you would not want me to leave out. And so we have to start at Logan Airport in Boston. Now, I like to, when I get to the gate on the way to DragonCon every year, you can kind of scan the crowd and pick out the DragonCon people, you know?
Yeah, that part's fun.
You can spot a nerd.
Yes, you can.
And I can. So usually I can pick out a few DragonCon people at the gate, which I did. And usually I see people I know. I've been on the same flight as many friends of ours heading down that way. You know, Jessica and Sergio, Martha, Kevin Cafferty, Kevin Batchelder. I've run into many, many old friends of ours just on the way down. And I scanned the crowd. I spotted a nerd or two. And I thought that was it. I thought, I don't know anybody on this flight. And then I caught somebody's eye and realized it was a costuming friend of mine who I rarely see not wearing an amazing costume. And that's Brandon the Shapeshifter.
Oh, cool.
Who's an incredible local costumer. And I know you've seen some of his work.
Yes.
Yeah, just absolutely one of the best. But it's rare to see him not in an amazing costume. And he's usually completely painted. You know, he does full makeup. And so, yeah, it was weird. Like, oh, he was kind of looking at me. We'd exchanged a double take. Like, oh, it's you. Oh, it's you. Right.
Hey, you're dressed as yourself.
Yeah. Chatting with civilian mode, Brandon the Shapeshifter. Everybody look up Brandon the Shapeshifter. You will see amazing costumes. But I was talking with Brandon. And then we were just in line, kind of shuffling towards the airplane. He mentioned which hotel he was staying at, and suddenly the girl in front of us in line spun around. Someone I had not pegged as a nerd. She was deep undercover, but she suddenly turned around, got in on the conversation about the hotel. Then she pulls aside her outer jacket and reveals a DragonCon logo on the inner jacket, you know?
Nice. Nerd undercover.
Yeah, this officially became a nerd flight. So we got down there, flew to Atlanta. I never saw Brandon again the rest of the weekend.
Or did you? And he was just so well costumed, you didn't realize it.
Oh, well, I know him when I see him. I would have known when I saw him in costume, but I never did. I saw some photos. There are some amazing photos of Brandon at DragonCon this year, but I never saw him in person ever. There were 70,000 of us, Cornflake. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah, that can complicate trying to find a person.
You don't always see everybody. We should mention, for first-time listeners, DragonCon is a giant convention for nerds and geeks in Atlanta, Georgia, Labor Day weekend. And yeah, I believe the official count was 70,000 people for this year. But this is a show about comics and games and costuming, science fiction, literature, science, skepticism, robots, puppets, all that goofy stuff. It's all happening down there at DragonCon. Got to Atlanta, hopped on the MARTA, you know, which is their subway system. They call it MARTA.
I love that.
In honor of Marta Kristen from Lost in Space. And shot straight down the subway system to DragonCon. I was on a mission when I got there, so I went into the CVS. There's a CVS down there, and that's where all the nerds go to get all their supplies for the weekend.
Oh, yes. Nerd supplies.
I needed snacks for the Geek Girls Run because I was helping to organize the Geek Girls Run this year. I volunteered to bring snacks for the post-run gathering, but they didn't have anything to my liking. I was looking for like a big box, you know, like a variety pack with like little bags of chips and cookies and stuff. You know, I'm looking to buy in bulk.
Not at CVS, you don't. You buy one chip in one bag. That is how you do.
We have one giant Dorito for everybody. They told me at CVS, but it's a big CVS, and they're very well stocked for the convention because they know the nerds are coming. So I thought maybe they'd have what I was looking for. They did not. So I ended up. I knew where there was an actual like supermarket, but it's a mile away. But you know, it was a lovely walk. It was fine. Got some snacks. Hiked the mile back.
I was gonna say, you walked back with all those snacks? You are lucky you were not accosted by a bunch of hungry pigeons or anything.
Or me, you know.
Yes.
I could have easily just ripped the box open and
chomped,
gone to work, you know, lighten the load. But spent the rest of the afternoon, rest of the evening, mostly just panel prep. You know, I'm still just working on all the panels and presentations that I was going to be doing all weekend. So I still had a lot of homework to do to get ready for the stuff I'd be doing for DragonCon. So I was mostly just working on that. I did get over to the actual convention scene later that night. I popped in on the Classics Track room. Because, you know, kind of my home base at DragonCon is the American Sci-Fi Classics Track with our pals Joe and Gary, who you've heard here on the Flapcast. They run the Sci-Fi Classics Track. So I just ducked in to say hi to a bunch of those people real quick, which was nice. But the Marriott, which is kind of the central hotel of the five DragonCon hotels, absolutely packed with crazy partying people in costumes Wednesday night.
Before the convention even starts.
Convention starts Thursday. Yeah, it's a big, crazy costume party going Wednesdays. That's been the case the last few years. So saw the crazy people, got out of there. And yeah, that was about it for Wednesday. Thursday, so DragonCon starts Thursday afternoon. My morning was free. The Geek Girls run is not until Friday, but Thursday I got my own running done. And I discovered Piedmont Park last year, which is a big, beautiful park in the middle of Atlanta. Just hugely. You can get lost in this park. There's all sorts of trails and fields. And
you did, and you missed the rest of the convention.
I might still be in Piedmont Park. I actually did kind of get lost. I was not quite sure where I was at times, but, you know, I just kept moving. But I wanted to go back to this park because it's really a lovely place to run. It's like a mile and a half away. So, you know, you get 3 miles running and just going there and back. But I was running around the park itself because I remembered from last year they got ducks there, and I wanted to see the ducks.
Ooh, your Muscovies.
My Muscovy ducks. You remembered.
How could I forget? They're Muscovies.
And I like to think that they remembered me.
I suppose anything is possible.
Because I don't think anybody in Atlanta was more excited about the Muscovy ducks of Piedmont Park than me. So they must have been, oh, there's that maniac again that gets all excited when he sees a duck.
You need to write a book called The Muscovy Ducks of Piedmont Park.
They're very cool. They're very chill ducks. They don't mind. You can come walking right up to them. They're just hanging out. And there's a bunch of them, and that's their place. There they are. So I was there to run, but there were frequent stops to hang out with the ducks.
That's worth stopping for.
And I was hoping that they would all start running along behind me, you know, like in Rocky.
Oh my gosh, you could be like the duck whisperer.
Yes, I wanted to lead them all back to DragonCon. But they weren't having it.
The Pied Ducky Piper.
I left the ducks in the park and ran back to the convention. I threw away a shirt. I specifically brought an ugly shirt to run in and then just ditch in Atlanta. I love just getting rid of stuff in Atlanta. Just less stuff to take home, you know?
That's an interesting strategy.
And when you run, when you go to like racing events, they often give you a shirt, and it's often a very ugly shirt.
Right.
And so I thought, here's my chance to ditch an ugly running shirt. And so I did. But it was a perfect fit on one of the ducks. It slipped right into it. So look for the duck wearing an ugly running shirt. That's one of the ducks that I met.
I hope that the duck knows how to do laundry.
The duck is fine. Got back to the convention. I went to badge pickup. You know, I go to VIP badge pickup, even though I'm not much of a VIP. But
for very important podcasters.
Yes, just barely enough of a VIP. If you squint just right, I qualify. And I usually see some people in there that I know, which was nice. I see my friend Emily. She does panels for the science track. And it's become a tradition. Emily and I only see each other at badge pickup. And that's it. I'll never see her again. It happened again this year. Van Allen Plexico was there, a writer, podcaster, among many other things. Cool guy, Van Allen Plexico. I've read a couple of his books, and a friend of mine, although I feel like it's been a few years since I've actually run into him at the convention. So I thought, oh, there's Van. This is my big chance to say hello. I'll probably never see him again. So I did, and never saw him again. So VIP badge pickup. That's the place to see people you'll never see again.
Well, I'm glad you got to see them at all.
Got my badge. Then I had to get over to where they do the guided tours. I was a tour guide again this year.
Did you have, what was it that you had to lead the crowd with before? Was it an umbrella like Mary Poppins? What was it?
I could have used an umbrella like Mary Poppins, just rise up above the crowd.
Yeah. Wait, you didn't?
They give you a fan, like a little fold-out. Okay.
That's what it is.
Paper fan. Yeah, because like you hold it up so that people can see you at the front of the line.
Do you wrap it a couple of times if people aren't paying attention? That's what I would do.
I had not done a tour in 4 years. I took the last couple of Dragon Cons off from being a tour guide. This is an unofficial part of Dragon Con. These are friends of mine organized these guided tours for newcomers to the convention so you can learn your way around. So I was a tour guide, and it was weird because you go out in teams of two to do a tour. There's the guide, and then they call it a wrangler. You have somebody at the end of the line to make sure you don't lose anybody. And I've always worked with the same wrangler, which is Christine. You know, we've always gone out together, and she's not there this year. So I didn't have my regular wrangler. And in fact, by the time my tour came up, they didn't have any wranglers on reserve.
Oh, no.
But that's okay because we just recruited somebody from my tour.
I see.
You know, I just needed a volunteer from my group of 20 people or whatever, and we deputized them to be the tour wrangler. She got her own fan and just stayed at the back, made sure we didn't lose anybody, and she was great. Leela did a fine job. Anyway, did the tour, took my group around, showed everybody everything. Took about an hour to do the tour. It's a workout.
But people wouldn't know where the con suite is, the secret con suite, without you.
I showed everybody the location of the secret con suite. Yes, I showed them everything. By the time I got back, I was done. My friend Sue, she's up on stage. It's another Kevin Batchelder. It's Sue, Kevin, Mike, and Kim are up there because they do like a Q&A through the whole tour session. They're up on stage where the tours depart. They spend literally 5 hours just answering questions while the tours go out, and they're amazing at it. I got back and Sue kind of looked at me and she's like, can you do another tour? And I was just, I just shook my head in defeat. No, aww. I cannot do another tour. I think I'm done.
Oh, they didn't even try to sweeten the pot by telling you that you could take the group to go see the Muscovies if you wanted to.
Had I taken another tour group out, yes, I would have led them back to Piedmont Park and left them there to live among the ducks.
There'd be a bunch of people lost in Piedmont Park.
All right, that's a good idea. I'm doing that next year. No, I just got back to the room. I picked up my Geek Girl snacks, which I had stashed behind the stage because I had to drop them off in a different room so they'd be ready for the following day. It was a lot of just moving snacks around over a course of 2 or 3 days.
Well, those snacks don't move themselves, so.
That's what I'm learning.
Good on you.
So the tours were done. Also, in the middle of my tour, I got spotted by Kevin Cafferty.
Ah, you found each other.
Friend of the Flapcast. He found me. I didn't see him, but suddenly I heard somebody yelling at me, asking me where they could find HR Puff and stuff.
Oh, Kevin Cafferty is great.
Not a bad question, because Puffin Stuff was at Dragon Con this year, but we'll get to Puffin Stuff later. But yeah, it was nice to say a quick hello to Cafferty. He just caught me and, you know, was laughing at me as I was leading my tour group. Anyway, when the tour was all done, I found the mayor of Chickentown. The mayor showed up at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I'm very glad you were able to find the mayor.
Yes, very important to locate the mayor. So then there were two of us from Team Flopcast at Dragon Con, and we went out to dinner that night. Again, it's only Thursday. Things are still relatively calm, and I had time to actually go out to a nice dinner with the mayor and friends of ours, you know, like actual humans might do.
That's impressive. For a con, that is not always easy to do.
Yeah.
And for Dragon Con, of all places.
As the weekend goes on, you know, food devolves into just you're slumped down on the floor with a half a canister of Pringles, you know what, while Klingons are tripping over you.
Now, that's most people. I've heard you come up with some pretty impressive food arrangements. Like, I remember your falafel stories from last year.
You got to know how to work the falafel. Yes.
But yeah, for most people at a convention, being slumped over a half a can of Pringles is about right. And it's not even like original Pringles. It's like some off-brand of Pringles.
It's just a thing of tennis balls. It just looks from the outside like you have Pringles. That's how tough it is finding something to eat sometimes down there.
You just pretend they're Pringles.
The mayor and I went to a nice Mexican place that we've been to once before with dear friends of ours, Tim and Jessica. This place, they bring you this, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what's going on, but I was just along for the ride. I was like, whatever you guys want to order, let's do it. They bring you this like crazy, dangerously hot, bubbling, black witch's cauldron, like bubbling. And it's just full of some kind of weird, giant, weird cheese blob. Ooh. And they just stick it in the middle of the table.
I love giant cheese blobs.
That's what we had for dinner, essentially.
Oh, wow.
So that was nice.
I'm not even joking. I love a giant cheese blob.
Gotta eat healthy, you know?
Oh, yeah, you just stick some celery in the giant cheese blob. There you go.
There was not a celery stalk to be found. Okay. Just grab a fistful of...
cheese blob.
So got out of there anyway, back at the convention. Oh, then we just happened to run into another dear friend of ours, Kate, from the Strange Animals podcast.
Kate!
Another former guest of the Flopcast. And you know what? Another future guest of the Flopcast, because you know what?
She's coming back?
Yikes, we got to get Kate back on this show one of these days. But got to talk to Kate for a while, who we would see many times over the course of the weekend. But we love Kate from Strange Animals podcast. I've known her, 30 years, I'm going to say. I've been good friends with Kate. She's the best. The mayor and I headed back into the Sci-Fi Classics track room to see another good friend of ours and another recent Flopcast guest. That is Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion.
Yes, our robot list guy.
Chris was here mere weeks ago to help with our annual robot list. And yeah, man, we love Chris. And he was doing his Sci-Fi Explosion show, in which he curates shows just filled with bizarre videos. And it's remarkable.
It is very special.
Anybody that can get to a Sci-Fi Explosion show, you absolutely must. It ends the same way. He shows all kinds of incredible things every time. It's always a weird mix of incredible stuff, and he's very funny. He has some great commentary in between videos. And, of course, the conclusion of every Sci-Fi Explosion show, it always ends the same way. And that's Billy Ocean, lover boy.
Yes.
Because... Chris has many obsessions, but that is his greatest love, his greatest obsession is the Billy Ocean Loverboy video, which is one of the weirdest things that ever happened.
It's fantastic.
A great, great show. As soon as we saw each other when we got to the room, Chris went back to his stuff. He handed me a bag. He had a bag of stuff waiting for me. He had a lovely gift bag.
A bag?
I had nothing for Chris, but Chris had a beautiful gift bag of stuff for me, and I was just... honored to receive. Well, I got this little booklet. He made a Sci-Fi Explosion, like little small press booklet, and it's all filled with ads and like panels from comic books and ads for toys and movies and stuff. It's like Sci-Fi Explosion in print form.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's very cool. Very fun to flip through. He gave me that. He gave me a little Archie Halloween comic book. He gave me a little rubber chicken, like a weird little rubber chicken.
I love weird little rubber chickens.
And, you know, we've seen a lot of rubber chickens around here, here in Chickentown. This is one I had not encountered before, but a little rubber chicken was in that bag. And best of all, we got a Dynamite. He had an actual copy of Dynamite for me.
Oh, wow. Well, we know how important Dynamite is around here.
This is an issue of Dynamite we have not yet covered on the Flopcast. So next time we do Dynamite review, we've got to do this one, the one that we got from Chris. This one has Alfred E. Newman on the cover.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's like Mad invading.
A little bit of a crossover.
Invading another magazine.
You got to love that.
Yes, I do love that. So yeah, next time we do Dynamite review, it'll be sponsored by Sci-Fi Explosion because we're going to do this very issue of Dynamite. Chris was doing something after Sci-Fi Explosion, but we had a little bit of time in between. And on the way, because this was happening in a different room, we're moving from one Chris Cummins event to another. But along the way, we ran into other good friends of ours and other guests of the Flopcast. That is Jessica and Sergio from Anaria. And Martha from But First Let's Talk Nerdy.
Oh, what a crew to run into.
You know, some of my favorite people to hang out with every year. So got to hang out with them for a little bit along the way. Jessica and Sergio were dressed as characters from The Mummy, the 1999 Mummy movie. And they looked great. They always look great. Fantastic costumers. And Martha was doing Dazzler from Marvel Comics, a roller disco superhero. We love Dazzler. She looked incredible. So great to see them, of course. But we were moving along. We had to go upstairs because Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion and Kevin Cafferty from Gleaming the Tube, the podcast about movies featuring skateboarding. Chris and Kevin were in cahoots among with other people. They did a short panel dedicated to MTV 120 Minutes. That was the old MTV show about like alternative music. That's where they showed videos that were outside the mainstream. The weirder, more obscure, alternative, new wave, college rock, whatever you want to call it, but the stuff that you weren't going to hear on Top 40 radio, they would show those videos on MTV 120 Minutes. They did a short panel about 120 Minutes, and then it turned into a 120 Minutes-inspired dance party.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, with they were DJing the dance party. Kevin told me he had a great time. He spent like two and a half hours, I think, you know, playing songs for the kids.
Mixing it up.
Yeah, so the mayor and I were up there, and you know I don't dance.
Except just this once, and you got into the middle of the dance floor, you showed what you're made of, and nobody's ever going to see anything like it again.
Suddenly, I got the music in me. Yeah, everyone formed a circle around me.
And it was... It included synchronized Muscovies.
Right. No, actually, my mistake. I just stood there like an idiot, as I always do. But yeah, the mayor and I were there for a little bit of the dance party at the beginning. Kevin actually put on, he said, in my honor, because he saw that I was there, he put on They Might Be Giants, Anna Ng.
Very cool.
All the kids were dancing to They Might Be Giants. And yeah, it was a packed room of crazy people dancing around to Kevin and Chris playing the hits, or the weird stuff at least. So yeah, we saw a little bit of that. I think the mayor tapped out at that point. She went to get some sleep. I left the dance, but I was just wandering around because this is Thursday night. Now it's officially on. I like to just wander around late at night and look at all the crazy people.
Now let me ask, were there a fair number of crazy people?
There were, in fact, some crazy people. If you know where to look, which is literally in any direction.
Everywhere.
Yeah, you will see thousands of crazy people, which I did. So I was going around checking out the costumes, checking out the people. But then I would keep ducking in. I'd drop back in on the dance to see how that was going. So I'd kept popping in and out. So I was out pretty late with the wacky people. Eventually called it a night because I had to get up Friday morning. Now it's the actual Geek Girls run, finally, which I'd been preparing for, you know, for 2 days.
And you forgot the snacks. No, just kidding.
Snacks had already been delivered.
Right.
They were all set. I just had to deliver myself at this point. So I got down there very early, super early, to the front steps of the Marriott, which is where we meet every year for the Geek Girls Run. Geek Girls Run, I think this was the 11th year of the run. It's an unofficial part of DragonCon. This is not a DragonCon sanctioned event. This is just a group of fans get together and do this. So I got down there. I was so early, in fact, that I figured I had time to run the course myself. So I did a preliminary run of the Geek Girls Run course just on my own, just to make sure it was still there. It's a short run. It's like a mile and a half. Then I was hanging out. I figured if I did it twice, then it would be a 5K, you know?
Oh, good thinking.
Instead of a 2.5K. So did the run. Then I was hanging around waiting for other people to start arriving. We should say a lady named Janine started the Geek Girls Run, and she's cool. She's a writer as well. I've read one of her books. And Janine could not be at DragonCon this year, but the Geek Girls Run went on without her. A couple of us stepped up to help coordinate things this year. So it was me and a woman named Katie, who was great. So I was working with her for the last few weeks organizing things. I printed badge ribbons for the run. I didn't do any Flopcast badge ribbons this year, and I was not planning on doing any ribbons at all. Then suddenly I was involved in the Geek Girls run, so I thought, all right, I'm going to make ribbons for the run, because Janine usually does that.
Good thinking.
I brought ribbons. So as people were arriving to do the run, I was giving out ribbons. I have a lot left. So if anybody needs a Geek Girls Run 2023 ribbon, I got them. I printed too many. I also printed out little maps of the course, just in case people, because I know some people feel, you know, more comfortable knowing exactly where we're going to run, just in case they end up on their own or whatever. So gave out some little printouts of the course map as well, and people kept arriving. I don't know what the count was, how many people we had. I want to say 40, 50, something like that. You know, it's a big group shows up to do this. It's not just girls. It's everybody, open to everybody. And it's not a race. It's just, you know, it's a fun run. It's everybody just go. You can walk. You can do whatever you want. We have different paces. So it's for everybody.
That's great that it's inclusive like that.
Absolutely. And then the fun twist this year is for the first time ever, the Marriott security was very upset with us.
Oh?
That's never happened before. The security person came up and was, what are you all doing on the steps? We can't have anybody on the steps. You've all got to move. And we explained, can we stay here for like 5 minutes? And then we're going on a run. We're just leaving to run. And he was a nice guy, a cool guy. And he was like, okay, he was fine. Then he left. But then other security people kept arriving who were not as friendly as the first guy. So eventually they were like, no, get off. So we cleared their steps. And I mean, they're fine. They're doing their job. They're doing what they had to do. It was just weird because that's never come up before. It's never been a problem. You know, we weren't causing any trouble, but they were doing their job fine. So in a panic, we took our group photo as quickly as we possibly could. Katie's husband was there as our photographer. He took a quick picture of us and took a bunch of pictures throughout the whole thing. Katie's husband, Kevin, was a big help. Got our picture before being arrested and got on the sidewalk, off their steps, and off we go. Did the run. And then, there's a post-run social gathering, which I've never gone to before because I'm always...
Yeah, you're off to something else.
Yeah, this was... I was surprised I could do the run at all. Last couple of years, I've gone to the beginning of the run and taken pictures and said hi, but then I've got to go because it's like, I have to go be on stage with Flash Gordon an hour from now, so bye. But I didn't have anything scheduled a Friday morning for the convention, so I was able to do the run and help coordinate the run and go to the post-run hangout as well, where our snacks were waiting. There were other snacks as well. People brought, there were donuts, and there was a bunch of stuff there. So way more snacks than we needed. But it was very nice hanging out and chatting with everybody afterwards. And it was in a room I'd never been in before. We were in the kids' track room.
Oh.
The kids' track, Cornflake. What business do I have in the kids' track?
Absolutely none.
Absolutely none is the correct answer.
Is that where they serve the trick cereal?
Yeah. Those kids don't want me to have my cereal. They're monsters.
They could call it the tricks track.
Lady named Phyllis is the track director of the kids track. And I guess she has a relationship with Janine such that she has offered us her track room to use for the post-run hangout, which is awfully nice.
Oh, that is very sweet.
No kids in the kids track room that time of the morning, but we got to hang out and chomp on our snacks and such. A fine, fine event. We missed Janine this year. Janine is our leader, our founder, but she was actually turksting in from Europe. I think she was in Europe, but she was actually checking in with the group while it was happening, even though it was crazy early wherever she was. But had a fine, fine time. The Geek Girls Run, other than the fear of being pepper sprayed and zip tied by hotel security, it went off just fine. The next thing I did after that was I went up to the puppetry room because, you know, puppetry has its own track at Dragon Con, but puppetry was hosting a photo op and autograph signing event with Marty Croft.
You can't miss that.
This is my chance to meet Marty Croft from Sid and Marty Croft, the producers of my childhood. These were the guys behind, you know, H.R. Puffin Stuff, Lidsville, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, Bugaloos, Land of the Lost, Croft Super Show, Electro Woman and Dinah Girl, and on it goes. The Donnie and Marie Show. They did it all. Sid and Marty Croft. And yeah, what a treat to have Marty Croft at Dragon Cons. I've never seen either of the Croft brothers in my life, so then this opportunity is probably not going to come around again. So I absolutely jumped at the chance to meet Marty Croft. Kevin Cafferty was up there as well. He had the same thought as me, which is, we better go meet Marty Croft. Kevin was there, a bunch of people showed up, and we went into the puppet room and waited for Marty's arrival. We were told H.R. Puffin Stuff was going to be there with him. Like actual H.R. Puffin Stuff.
Wow.
Puffin Stuff, however, was not at this event. He was at Dragon Con.
Oh, good.
The mayor had spotted Puffin Stuff earlier that day, so I knew H.R. Puffin Stuff was around, but this was Marty Croft only. But Marty did indeed come in and was hanging out, meeting everybody, signing stuff, taking pictures. And Marty Croft is 86 years old.
That's substantial.
And does not get out to the East Coast often. In fact, I believe he had not been in Atlanta since the Sid and Marty Croft theme park was in operation in the 70s. So this was a very special occasion. And yeah, he's 86, still sharp.
That's good.
But also very, very clearly a bit tired after, you know, they had him on a pretty aggressive schedule all weekend. And I got the impression, and I think I overheard some people saying that he was not thrilled about how much moving around
he had to do. Oh,
they'd have an event at one hotel, and then, you know, an hour later, he'd go do something at a different hotel. So there was a lot of moving around, and he's always been a cranky guy anyway, you know, so.
That's just his nature.
Yeah. Seeing Marty a little cranky at times, that's on brand. So that's fine. But he really was very into the idea of people meeting him. So like whatever frustrations he was having with moving around and doing so much, he really wanted to meet people and take pictures with people. And he was very clearly into that. So I did indeed get a quick picture with Marty and just say a quick hello. But what a thrill to see Marty Croft. And then I saw him again not long after that, because later that afternoon he did several talks over the course of the weekend. So I went into a big ballroom to see Marty. And this time, before Marty Croft came out, H.R. Puffin Stuff did actually come out.
Very cool.
And that's pretty freaky. This is actual, I mean, not the, this is not the H.R. Puffin Stuff that was on TV in 1969, but this was an official H.R. Puffin Stuff, you know, from the actual Croft company.
So a reasonable facsimile.
Yeah, this is currently real H.R. Puffin Stuff.
Wow.
Who came out and spoke to the crowd and pointed out that H.R. Puffin Stuff is a dragon. And so it's especially appropriate for Puffin Stuff to be at Dragon Con. But Puffin Stuff came out, said hi to the people, introduced Marty. They brought Marty out, and Marty did a little interview and a little talk about all kinds of stuff from his life and career. They showed a bunch of clips of various things. And they also announced that there's a plan for all the Croft shows to be remastered and to be streaming early next year.
Wow. How exciting of an announcement was that for you?
It's very exciting because a lot of that stuff has just been unavailable in any form.
And now suddenly it's going to be available in all of its glory.
Yeah. So some of that stuff you can see in dreadful, poor quality on YouTube. A lot of it, I think, you can't find at all anywhere. So the plan is everything. I mean, all the Croft Super Show stuff, the more obscure stuff like that, to be remastered and streaming next year, early next year. Now, is it really going to happen? I sure hope so, but I'll believe it when I see it. The Crofts also have a history of announcing things, and
then it doesn't happen.
You know, that's the kind of thing where, okay, that'll be great if it happens. I sure hope it does. They seemed very confident as they were announcing it. There was Marty Croft and his team. He had people from the Croft company with him as well. And it looks like it's happening. Let's hope so. We'll see.
Oh, I do hope that comes together.
Yeah, you know, super crazy fun to see Marty Croft in person with Puffin Stuff. So that was certainly a highlight. The next thing I had after that was I had to be on stage back in the Sci-Fi Classics room this was my friend Sue's idea, Sue from the Women at Warp Star Trek podcast. But Sue thought we should do a panel where we just focus on not just a TV show, but a specific episode of a TV show. Let's do a whole panel about one episode so that we can really do a deep dive on it. So we did that. And what we decided on was Twilight Zone, Eye of the Beholder. Just one of the classic episodes of Twilight Zone. This is one of the ones that everybody remembers, people talk about. It's the one where the woman has bandages all over her face. She's in a hospital to get a treatment, which will hopefully fix her, quote, fix her, to look like all the other normal people in society. That's the premise. And there's kind of a shocking reveal in it. Eye of the Beholder, and we had a great talk about it. Sue was moderating. Gary was up there, had a good group. I prepared some slides for it, so I was pulling up some images from the episode on the screen as we went. I ran into a lady later on in the convention who was dressed as one of the nurses from the Eye of the Beholder episode.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you know the episode, you know what this lady looked like. you can tell if you're looking at a nurse from Eye of the Beholder. But I just caught her in a hotel lobby and, you know, took her picture. And then I told her, I was like, you know, we did a whole panel about this episode a couple of nights ago. And she was very sorry to have missed it because she was obviously a fan. I think her name was Anne Marie. Nice lady. But that was fun to see her after doing this whole panel. That went well, so I think we might do another deep dive like that another time about some other show. I don't know if I'll be involved again or not, depends on what they pick, but that was good. And I had another thing on the Sci-Fi Classics track later that night. This was another Chris Cummins thing, so you know this is going to be good. This is Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion invited me to be part of a show he does called the Sci-Fi Explosion Music Video Book Club. Chris assembles a panel in advance. Each of us chose a music video to bring to the panel. So in advance, we watched all these videos and showed up prepared to discuss each of them. So then we each presented a weird music video, then we discussed quickly and then moved on to the next one.
Cool.
But the panel was me and Chris, Chris's buddy Derek, who's very funny. I met him last year. Joe and Gary from the Classics track were both on this, as well as Kevin Cafferty. So that was the dream team that Chris assembled for the music video book club.
Sounds like a good group.
It was a good group. It was very funny because people picked some weird videos. The videos that we watched were Tom Petty, You Got Lucky.
Tom Petty videos are always interesting.
He makes some weird videos, and perhaps none weirder than this one, except maybe that cake cutting one.
Don't come around here no more. I love that video.
This was You Got Lucky. Many of these videos had like a weird post-apocalyptic setting to them. This was one of them, as well as Rick Springfield, Human Touch. That's a weird one. Duran Duran, Union of the Snake is a bizarre one. I think that was Joe's pick. Kevin Cafferty picked Motley Crue, Looks That Kill. We got some hair metal in there. But again, all these videos look weirdly post-apocalyptic and were very, very funny. Derek picked something very strange, an animated music video called Mr. Fear, which wasn't just ridiculous and goofy like the other ones. It was actually like super cool. I didn't know what to make of it. Like I couldn't make fun of it. I was like, I can't come up with jokes about this. That was just really cool.
Yeah.
Go back to the goofy stuff.
Sometimes please. There's nothing you can say, but wow, that's neat.
Yeah, that's essentially what I said about that one. It was a nice change of pace, though. It was nice to mix it up a bit. My pick was, I went local. I went with a Boston group that I don't think many people remember, but there was a Boston group back in the 80s called the Johnson Crew. And that's J-O-N-Z-U-N, the Johnson Crew. And they were sort of electro-funk, sort of like Parliament Funkadelic-inspired Afrofuturism, it's been described as. So they did really, really cool stuff. They did one big weird album called Lost in Space with some very strange songs on it. And I picked a song called Space Cowboy. Not the Steve Miller Space Cowboy. This is a good song.
But you're a huge Steve Miller fan.
This is a good Space Cowboy corn flick. The video is wild. It's just, they're doing this goofy Space Cowboy song, and there's a horse standing there. They're in these weird cowboy costumes. There's like bikini cowgirls kind of gyrating around. It's crazy. Johnson Crew. And the fun thing about the Johnson Crew is that one of these guys, under the name Maurice Starr, went on to form New Edition and the New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yeah. I know that Maurice Starr that you're talking about.
That guy. Well, he was also in the Johnson Crew, and he made Space Cowboy.
Wow. That I did not know about him.
Check it out, everybody. So it was crazy fun. The music video book club was terrific. We had a great time. I hope we keep doing that in years to come, because that was great. I'm already wondering what I should bring to the next music video club that could top Space Cowboy. I was just wandering around late at night once again after that. I ran into Martha and Jessica and Sergio again, which was cool. Jessica was dressed as Elvira Friday night.
Nice.
And she does an incredible Elvira. She looked, I mean, Elvira has seen Jessica as Elvira and been impressed.
And totally approves.
Yes, approves of Jess's Elvira. Absolutely. So I got to hang out with them a little bit. Then, it got crazy late Friday night. Eventually, I ran into Gary again from the Classics track and a bunch of Gary's friends. So I was hanging out with them for quite a while, just hanging out, watching the crazy people. At some point, I guess I gave up. I don't know how deep I went, 2:30 or so, I think. It was late.
2:30 in the morning.
Something like that, yeah. That I finally called it a night and got out of there, take a break from the maniacs and the weirdos and the nerds and the geeks, as much as we love them. And, you know, that's let's put a cap on the convention for now, right now. Yikes, see, we've gone long. I'm trying to break this into three parts.
I knew you would. You fit so much into your time at Dragon Con that there was just no way that this episode was going to be able to be short.
Not a chance. Well, we did what we could. We are splitting this into three. It's a three-parter. That's why it's not 2 hours long.
Yes, I was only jokingly threatening that at the beginning of the show.
So it's all going to be okay. We're going to continue this next week. But for now, Cornflake, hey, get us out of here.
I was so busy being dazzled by all the Dragon Con facts that I almost forgot how this part goes. But I'm back. We are at flopcast.net on the internet, facebook.com/flopcast as well. And we're on Mastodon, universodon.com/@flopcast. And on Instagram, where our handle is the_flopcast. You could go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. It's how other nerds are able to find us. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
As you know, Sponge Awareness Foundation, the first song we ever wrote, it was called Candy Girl. We thought we were going to be huge stars, but then the Johnson crew and Maurice Starr stole it from us and gave it to New Edition. And I'm still angry. Cornflake, thanks for hanging out with me as we talked our way through the first couple of days of Dragon Con. Dragon Con Part 2, next week. Who knows what's going to happen next? Join us, won't you? Meanwhile, please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and Muscovy Ducks.
Soulforge Podcast. It's a geeky look at love, life, fandom, mental health, pop culture, and so much more. If you're into learning about yourself and the universe, Soulforge is your podcast. Each week, we have a surprising new topic, from stupid things we do for love to product reviews, and there's almost always a fun guest host. Like and subscribe to Soulforge Podcast today.
Cornflake, it's the secret after show. I have this little book that we got from Chris. It just says Sci-Fi Explosion on the front, but this looks like something that Chris produced. And yeah, every page just has photocopies of old ads, like ads for movies, ads for toys, Star Wars toys, Buck Rogers stuff.
Oh, cool.
There's something that says Star Wars Bang Bang Robot Disco Star Robot System, and there's a photo of R2-D2 on it. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. That makes two of us.
That's the kind of stuff that's in this book. There's a very disturbing panel from what looks like a Tron comic book. I don't know what that's about, but I love it. There's an ad for the Mego Star Trek Enterprise. I had this. I had the Star Trek Enterprise. Like, it folds open, and it's like the bridge of the Enterprise, and you put all your Mego dolls in it.
I am not even a little bit surprised about that.
That was super cool. I still have it. In fact, and this is pretty freaky. There's a full-page ad here. Toys R Us presents in person from Star Wars. And then there's like little faces of, you can meet these characters appearing at Toys R Us. And the characters you can meet, there's a Stormtrooper, there's Chewbacca, there's Darth Vader, and there's Raggedy Ann and Andy.
All good options.
You know, just like in the movie.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.